Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-ah, I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. And this Saturday is Armed Forces Day, the least known national holiday in America. I have a young friend from another country here on a student visa. He's working hard. He speaks our language. He can't get any response from our government as he seeks permission to stay here. Yet, our government has brought in millions of illegal aliens who offer nothing but the demand for welfare, and they're still coming in. As a country, we used to share the same Judeo-Christian values, hold our founding fathers up as role models for their sacrifices for our freedom, and we didn't look to the government as the provider of our families. We were once a nation of brave, rugged individuals, not factions divided against each other. But that America, the one we grew up in, the one we veterans helped defend, is rapidly being replaced, and we need to control this change by getting very active in politics at the local, state, and federal levels this election year. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Have you captured any mushrooms this week, Skip?
Well, Colonel, I'm about done capturing mushrooms for the year, though the weather turned hot on me, so the mushrooms have gone AWOL, surprisingly enough. I'll never forgive them for that.
Oh, goodness, we need to report them. I wonder who we report them to. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the attack on Jews in America. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Colonel Dave Grossman will then discuss our nation's challenges. Junior co-host Cedar Coriel will share our nation's challenges from the perspectives of a young man. Author Steve Gorham will discuss AI and climate change. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. Take us there, Skip. What's the news?
Well, Colonel, heavy fighting between Israeli troops and Palestinian militants on the outskirts of the southern Gaza city of Rafah has left crucial nearby aid crossings inaccessible and caused over 100,000 people to flee north. Israel's plans for a full-scale invasion of Rafah may be on hold for now, with our nation's foolish demand for Israel not to attack. But even the more limited incursion already launched threatens to worsen Gaza's humanitarian catastrophe.
This attack is a response to Hamas and the Gaza terrorists' nonstop terror attacks into Israel for generations. It's very reasonable for Israel to say this attack is to wipe out Hamas. That Hamas's Gaza supporters are suffering is unfortunate, but it's a logical consequence of the war they've been supporting. Israel should not slow down, but should continue to wipe out Hamas and its supporters.
And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet voted unanimously to close local operations of Qatari-owned Al Jazeera, describing it as a mouthpiece for Hamas. The ban can be extended in 45-day increments and is expected to be challenged in Israeli courts. It marks the first time Israel has shuttered a foreign news outlet.
A wise move. Al Jazeera is clearly hostile to Israel and is one-sided, as, say, MSNBC. News, Al Jazeera is not. It's propaganda.
And Russia has said it would practice the deployment of tactical nuclear weapons as part of a military exercise after what Moscow said were threats from France, Britain, and the United States. Since Russia invaded Ukraine in 2022, Russia has repeatedly warned of rising nuclear risk, warnings which we say have to take seriously, though our officials say they have seen no change in Russia's nuclear posture. Russia says the U.S. and our European allies are pushing the world to the brink of confrontation between nuclear powers by supporting Ukraine with tens of billions of dollars of weapons, some of which are being used against Russian territory. Russia's defense ministry said, per instructions from President Putin, it would hold military drills, including practice for the preparation and deployment for use of non-strategic nuclear weapons. Quote, during the exercise, a set of measures will be carried out to practice the issues of preparation and use of non-strategic nuclear weapons, the ministry said. The exercise is aimed at ensuring Russia's territorial integrity and sovereignty in response to provocative statements and threats by certain Western officials against the Russian Federation, it said. Russia and the U.S. are by far the world's biggest nuclear powers, holding more than 10,600 of the world's 12,000 nuclear warheads. China has the third largest nuclear arsenal, followed by France and Britain. Russia has about 1,560 non-strategic nuclear warheads.
As Iran works to develop nuclear weapons, the likelihood of a nuclear war becomes more possible, as Israel does have them. What that will mean to the U.S. and Russia is hard to say. No power has used nuclear weapons in war since we unleashed the first atomic bomb attacks on the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945 during World War II.
And our Marine Forces Special Operations Command, MARSOC, is currently evaluating a new generation of robotic dog developed by Ghost Robotics with the potential to be equipped with gun systems. While MARSOC is testing the quadrupedal unmanned ground vehicles called QUGVs for short, for various applications, including reconnaissance and surveillance, it's the possibility of arming them for remote engagement that may draw the most attention. But it's not unprecedented. Our Marine Corps has tested robotic dogs armed with rocket launchers in the past. MARSOC is currently in possession of two armed QUGVs undergoing testing, and their gun systems featured an AI-enabled digital imaging system and can automatically detect and track people, drones, or vehicles, reporting potential targets to a remote human operator that could be located anywhere in the world. The system maintains a human-in-the-loop control for fire decisions, and it can't decide to fire autonomously.
This is interesting and scary. It's hard to imagine where this will go. Stay tuned.
And in a surprise victory with potential implications for our nation, Jose Mulino was elected president of Panama May 5th on a platform that included closing the Darien Gap to migrants on their way to the U.S. southern border. During a May 6th interview, the populist president-elect reiterated his vow to repatriate migrants coming into Panama while shutting down what has become a major route for illegal migration. Quote, "When repatriation begins here, those who try to arrive will think twice because they will not have an easy destination because they will be transferred to their countries of origin," Mr. Mulino said. "At no point do I say that this will be an easy action, but it will be a firm decision with the purpose of making it known that we are not sponsoring that migration here and that we are going to put a stop to it," unquote.
It's nice to know that Panama's president sees the horror that the unlimited movement of illegal aliens creates and that he's willing to help stop it and help our nation, given that our president won't help our nation by dealing with this horrible crisis. Interesting.
And a lone World War II-era T-34 tank clanked across the cobblestones of Moscow's Red Square yesterday, passing a triumphant banner proclaiming 1945-2024 victory. During the Putin era, the anniversary of the defeat of Nazi Germany, VE, or Victory in Europe Day for the Russians, was 9 May 1945, traditionally has been celebrated by columns of late-model tanks. As a red and gold hammer and sickle flag flapped in unseasonable snow flurries, the lonely tank raised the question, where are the others?
Clearly the others have been committed to the war against Ukraine, where they've likely been lost. So what's gained by this seemingly endless war? Two countries of depopulated rubble, and where is the outrage that they're targeting civilians, as there is in the Israel-Hamas conflict? Politics before people. Then rebuild and life goes on for those who survive. Huh? This is nonsense. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can help you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Colonel Dave Grossman. At ease, troops, take a break. It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800 UCB Gold to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800 UCB Gold. That's 800 UCB Gold, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. I'm often asked, at what age should you start teaching your kids about guns? There's no magic age, as all kids are different. The most important thing is to teach them gun safety. Teach them never to touch a gun unless mom or dad are supervising. And always keep your guns locked up in a quality gun safe where kids can't get to them. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices way up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. As many listeners know, I was a Middle East war planner for over 4 years. I visited and studied Israel and its challenges. I'm also a Jew. My mother was a German Jew. While I'm a Christian, I've studied as a Jew and closely relate to the Jewish community and culture. Thus, I've been very aware of the anti-Semitism in our nation, and especially now. In the past 6 months, since the horrific events of October 7th, American Jews had to face and confront some harsh and painful truths. After decades of unprecedented success and unparalleled influence ranging from Hollywood to the halls of power on the Eastern Seaboard, a certain overconfidence has settled in, with many Jews firmly convinced that America is immune to the nastiness of diaspora Jewish history. Sure, German Jews in the 20th century and Spanish Jews in the 15th century and a number of others throughout the ages became uncomfortable and prominently established in their respective societies, seemingly fully accepted and appreciated until they weren't. But here in America, many believe it was different. It simply could not, would not happen, especially since Jews have given so much to American society. Yet, what was once deemed unthinkable is here. The openness with which Jew hatred is now expressed, and even worse, tolerated, can't be ignored, given the daily reminders of it, whether on college campuses or during pro-Hamas protests in major cities. And while this Jew hatred has been gaining attention, there's one key aspect of it that needs to be looked at. For the past few years, the Biden administration, the mainstream media, and even some Jewish organizations were suggesting that the greatest danger to American Jews and American society as a whole came from the extreme right. It's now clear that's baloney. While there's no doubt that American Jews must be on guard against the very few neo-Nazis and other such purveyors of hate, many of which may or may not be from the political right, the violence and vitriol of the woke and so-called progressive left clearly is real, widespread, and dangerous. The crowds praising Ifatada, the professors hailing Hamas resistance, the youth calling for Zionists to be killed are overwhelmingly members of the American left. For years, we have seen the rising tide of anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism among the American left, but it was politically expedient for many to focus the blame on the political right. And doing this was a mistake, only it wasn't a sin of omission, it was a sin of commission. For example, on the 13th of May, 23, during a commencement address at Howard University in Washington, President Biden declared white supremacy to be, quote, the single most dangerous terrorist threat in our homeland, end quote, adding that I say that wherever I go. A year prior to that, on the 1st of May, 22, Jonathan Greenblatt, the head of the Anti-Defamation League, said that it was, quote, extremists from the white supremacists and alt-right ilk who continue to pose the greatest threat to the homeland in terms of violent domestic extremism, end quote. Oops. When Columbia University decided to cancel in-person classes on campus, or when the University of Southern California called off its graduation ceremony, it was not out of fear of anyone from the political right or center. And when people have been filmed tearing down posters of Israeli hostages held in Gaza, they weren't wearing armbands with swastikas. In fact, the loudest, most virulent voices of anti-Semitism are coming straight from the self-proclaimed progressives who hurl accusations against Israel and harass and intimidate Jewish college students. This is not against the nation of Israel. This is against all Jews everywhere. Consider for a moment the uproar that took place at a single event in August 2017 when a group of about 100 neo-Nazis, white nationalists, and various other jerks marched in Charlottesville, Virginia, chanting, Jews will not replace us, end quote. In recent months, we've witnessed the equivalent of dozens of Charlottesvilles, only this time the participants are from the extreme left. By any measure, this should serve as a wake-up call to liberal American Jews who for far too long have cast their lot with the liberals, even as it slowly became a swamp of woke extremism. And it requires the leaders of Jewish organizations to admit they'd misled the public for years by not seeing, or electing to ignore, the seeds of hate that were sprouting out of the left. There's a huge change taking place in our society, and it doesn't bode well for Jews. How to deal with this is something that will require lots of strategizing in the coming years. But the first step is to acknowledge the stark reality staring all of us in the face, that the anti-Semitic progressive left, and clearly not Trump or even the KKK, which was for years part of the Democratic Party, is what truly endangers American Jewry. As long as there is serious bias in our nation, that when our military is not able to effectively defend our country. Blacks were indeed discriminated against in our military through World War II, but one of the first things our nation did after World War II ended was to desegregate our military, which made our military much more effective. During my 22 years of active duty in our Army, I did not see discrimination of any sort, not even Mr. Biden's white supremacy. We can't tolerate bias against anyone based on their race or anything else. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Colonel, this past summer, General Eric Smith took on the new role as the Marine Corps Commandant and a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. On October 29th last year, the General spent the morning cheering on participants of the annual Marine Corps Marathon in D.C. and then was planning to do a quick workout before taking his wife out for dinner. At about 5 p.m. that evening, siblings Timothy and Joyce Lalonde and their families concluded a celebratory post-race lunch and began the walk back towards home. On their way home, they were shaken by what they saw, a man face down on the sidewalk, alone, unresponsive, and bleeding from the mouth. That started their scramble to save the stranger they now found laying on the sidewalk. But this was no stranger to the Marine Corps, as it was General Smith, who had suffered cardiac arrest at the end of his run, just a block from his home at Marine Barracks, Washington. When the Lalandis found the general, they turned him on his side and determined that CPR was needed. As they began CPR, they also called 911 and continued CPR for about 9 minutes until the general began gasping for air. The D.C. Fire Department then took over, zapped Smith with an automated defibrillator, and loaded him in an ambulance. No one knew at that time that they were working on one of the Pentagon's top generals. Once at the hospital, it became clear the general didn't just have a heart attack, but had aortic stenosis, a condition that prevents the normal flow of blood away from the heart. The general received a treatment to reopen the valve and an implanted defibrillator to detect any future heart attacks. The Lalandis didn't realize who they had helped until later that evening while attending a concert. They received a call from an agent with a Naval Criminal Investigative Service who wanted to know more about the incident. Doctors said that the chance of this playing out the way it did was about 1 in 1,000. It's unusual to give someone CPR for that long and not just survive, but get back to a normal life in just a few months. The general had a chance to say thank you at a small ceremony to his rescuers, where each of them received the Navy Distinguished Public Service Award for their heroism. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. I appreciate your comments, bro. Thank you. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Colonel Dave Grossman about self-defense and other things. Then we'll talk with our junior co-host, Cedar Coriel, about his view of our nation. All this coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease.
Veterans have a unique perspective on healthcare, foreign policy, and federal spending.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and the military community a chance to share that perspective and drive change that will make Americans safer and more prosperous.
Want to join the movement and the thousands of activists in our grassroots army? Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. So it's an honor to welcome back to the show a guy who knows quite a bit about combat, retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. He's an interesting guy who's done a great deal of training for our military, police, security teams. I don't know who else. I first met him face-to-face while he was training my church's armed security team maybe 10 years ago. Anyway, I'm proud to call him friend. Welcome, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Denny. Proud to be on with you and all your great listeners out there. Hey, you know what? I wrote the book on combat. I wrote the book on killing. My newest book is on hunting. You can't understand combat or killing without understanding the role that hunting has, who we are, what we do. But you said, I know a lot about combat. Truth is, I never did much. But I have interviewed more people who have been in combat than anybody in human history, without a doubt. I did a lot of interviews for my book on killing. Hundreds and hundreds, and then I retired. I've been on the road for over 26 years now, and every day, some cop, some soldier, somebody comes up and gives me, sometimes several times a day, give me a case study. Here's what happened to me. Here's what it was like for me. I don't think anybody in human history has had the opportunity, the privilege to spend 26 years training people who are in the fight every day and getting that constant feedback loop. So it's been a real honor. It's been a great ride, and I plan to stay in that ride for a long, long time, but I don't ever want to misrepresent myself. My son just retired, Spec Ops, 9 combat tours, 10 if you count one of the Philippines, 3 Bronze Stars. These kids today, Denny, they see more in a week than I would have seen in my whole career. And they make us so doggone proud.
You know, you make a really good point here, Dave. My son is a retired cop. Indeed, I'm the oddball in my family. I'm the only one who was ever wore a military uniform, but most of them were cops. And I don't call police officers our brothers in arms, but I call them our first cousins in valor, because every day... they put on their uniform, they're at risk of being shot.
Yes. And you know, Denny, last year was an all-time record number of cops shot in the line of duty. Body armor saving lives, medical technology holding down the murder rate. In 2020, we saw the single largest annual jump in homicides that we have ever seen in the history of our nation. 2020, the wheels came off the bus. That was the Minneapolis effect, the George Floyd effect. When you see what it did to homicides, it's mind-boggling. 2 to 3 times more we've ever seen. And then in 2021, a record number of cops murdered in the line of duty, in spite of body armor, in spite of medical technology and tactics. Those kids have a desperate, desperate battle out there every day, and my heart goes out to them.
Yeah, we have to stand with them. As I've explained to my son, other than 2 years in Vietnam and 2 weeks in the Detroit riots, I've never had to worry about being shot when I walked around in uniform. Every day he put on his uniform, he was at risk.
Yes.
So I got shot at a million times more than he did, but he was at risk a million times more than I was.
And they can't go home and turn it off. We've got a series of attacks now where criminals come to the cop's house and murder the family. All-time record number of cops murdered in the line of duty, 5 dead in Dallas, and millions of gangbangers trying to beat that score. You know, there's a biological need in every human being to be part of a larger group. And our group is our nation. When we say the Pledge of Allegiance, when we stand for the national anthem, we say, this is our group. You know, one person alone in the jungle is cat food. 10 people's spears are the alpha predator anywhere on the planet. But if it's cool to be unpatriotic, if athletes dishonor the flag and dishonor the anthem, then who will they get their allegiance to? The gangs will fill that gap in a blink of an eye. Gang crime and gang membership has exploded. Every athlete that takes a knee during the national anthem, everybody who disrespects our nation, they're recruiters for the gangbangers. And gang crime has exploded and gang murders have exploded. And it's a tragic, tragic situation. Internally and externally, but you and I are both men of faith, and we got to remember that in the end, everybody dies, and every nation falls over my dead body. In the end, our son will die, but eternity continues. As men of faith, we can keep our eye on the big picture, and we will fight for this nation with all our heart and might and soul. But in the end, there's a broader battlefield, and my other book that came out just last year is on spiritual warfare. It's a follow-on to On Spiritual Combat, On Spiritual Combat is basic training and equipment issue, Ephesians chapter 6, just get your feet on the ground, and then On Spiritual Warfare is dive into the deep end of the pool, and that end of the battle can give us a perspective that will give us great power to work our way through the times that we're in.
Well, yes. I mean, the real world is the spirit world, and we're here as agents. We're supposed to be. We're imperfect agents.
Yes.
But that's what we're here for.
This world is not our home. We're soldiers deployed to a war zone. You know, in normal warfare, we win in large part by killing the enemy. In spiritual warfare, we win by saving them.
Really good point. Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Colonel Dave Grossman. Dave, you clearly do a heck of a lot of training. What got you interested in that? What rang your bell? How did you get there?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Out in the last week in May, going on into June, I'll be in Ukraine training Ukrainian troops. My book On Combat was translated into Ukrainian, came out last year, and then it won the Book of the Year award this year. And it's kind of fun. Here's Ukraine in the third year of this terrible, terrible war. And my book On Combat is their Book of the Year. And that kind of lays the foundation what got me in here. I've always wanted to know what it's like. I enlisted in 1974, 82nd Airborne Division. There were Vietnam vets all around us. And we tried to get them to talk. What's combat going to be like? What's going to be like? And they wouldn't say. And I thought what was at the heart of the matter was killing. And I wrote my first book on killing and interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people who'd killed in combat. And then I retired and I was traveling. I trained cops in all 50 states, every federal agency, and hundreds of our military units going back and forth from the war. And I realized that what was really at the heart of the matter, And this is just this constant desire to have this deeper level of knowledge that really was driving me, and then to be able to help people who are in the fight. And what was really important was not the killing. Those who fully prepared themselves, you know, it's not that big a deal. What was critical and vital was all the stuff in non-combat, auditory exclusion, slow motion time, tunnel vision, memory gaps, memory distortions. And then afterwards, you know, a week later, starter's gun goes off at your daughter's swim meet, and boom, your heart's pounding, you re-experience the event, and that's not PTSD. It's normal. How you respond to it will decide whether or not it becomes PTSD. It's so much of all of that was put in the book On Combat, and that's really kind of driving things for me. I got 14 published books, but I always want to know a little deeper. I want to ask questions other people won't ask and look deeper. Nobody's ever written a book. General Westmoreland said he got a nice nugget on the back of my book On Killing, that to his knowledge, nobody's ever written a book on the same subject. Why not? Why hasn't anybody ever looked at that? And then, you know, auditory exclusion. Most hunters know When you shoot a deer, you don't hear the shot. You are still getting hearing loss, by the way. How could we have had 500 years of gunpowder combat and not let the troops know that shots get muted in combat? These are the kind of things that fascinate me, to try to push the envelope, to get this deeper level of knowledge. And then, as an individual who believes, as a man of faith, I wanted to turn my people and my listeners as well. I do the narration, all my audiobooks, and very well received. And I wanted to turn the focus on this larger perspective, and I sort of wrote the book on combat, hoping people say, oh, no, Grossman's on killing and on combat. They're both Marine Corps commandants, required reading lists. What's Grossman got to say about on spiritual combat? And boom, you know, in the end, we're in a battle against forces of evil, and we need a force for good on our side. And if anybody out there is even remotely interested in that aspect of the realm, I really recommend the book on combat, and your role right in on spiritual combat and on spiritual warfare, and get a broader perspective. So that was me, just always trying to get just a young private, wondering what it was like, asking Vietnam vets. And here I am, 67-year-old old geezer. I want to stay in the fight for another 20 years. And I keep asking questions and gathering information and making it available for people. And it's the most fun anybody could possibly have.
Well, what you just said makes a great deal of sense to me. One of the things I have always said is the only reason to have a military is people will be trained to kill people and break things.
Oh, wow.
And if we're good at it, nobody messes with us. That's called deterrence.
Yes.
But being able to do that and come out of it healthy and whole and feeling good is quite another thing.
Yeah. And that's a great point, Danny. That's really the goal of on combat, the goal of on killing, even on hunting, is very, very much part of that wellness package. And then in the end, spiritual wellness transcends everything else. So, yeah, that's well said, with that objective of having them come out the other end whole and healthy and stronger. You know, we all know about post-traumatic stress. Far more important is post-traumatic growth.
Indeed.
That's that greatest generation, that World War II generation.
There's more to talk about, and Dave is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillow on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, often, each week. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Dave and I will be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com, 10% off promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Colonel Dave Grossman. Dave, we've covered a whole bunch of things here. But one of the things that you've brought up a couple of times is suicide.
Yeah.
And I know that that's an issue constantly with lots of people, and particularly cops. And it ties into sleep deprivation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Well, first off, when we talk about veteran suicide, 22 veterans a day take their life, maybe a little less in recent years. But veteran and combat veteran, you and I know, mean two different things.
Yes.
Most of those 22 veterans that day, now every suicide's a tragedy, and suicide among the elderly is a totally different story. But of those 22 veterans a day, the vast, vast majority are 70, 80, 90-year-old men who served for 2 years. You know, you and I know in the 40s, 50s, 60s, early 70s, they drafted everybody. Elvis Presley was drafted. Elvis served for 2 years. If Elvis was still alive and if Elvis killed himself, he'd be one of those 22 veterans a day. So the idea that they're all from the current war and they're all taking their lives and they all have PTSD, well, that's really kind of a smear of our troops, a new greatest generation rising up. Now, my nephew is a veteran who took his life, an Afghanistan vet, and every one of those is a tragedy. But when we really start digging into suicide, and this is so important, major, major factor in suicide is sleep deprivation. And this epidemic of suicide across the planet, teenagers, tweenagers, 10, 11, 12-year-old teenage girls' suicide rate is tripled per capita. And the new factor is this epidemic of sleep deprivation. Movies and binge-watching TV shows and video games and social media, they all steal our time and they steal our sleep. And so we lose more cops to suicide than every other line of duty death put together. And this epidemic of suicide, think like a detective, think like a scientist. What is the new factor? Sleep deprivation is it. Not only one good meta study on suicide said, not only is sleep deprivation a key factor in suicide, it's the most remediable factor. If we gave a damn about suicide, the first thing we'd do is look at sleep deprivation. You know, I trained an infantry battalion that was punching out to Iraq a little while back. And the command sergeant major came up to me and said, I talked about sleep to the troops. He said, you know, our last deployment, we were in a barracks environment at night and combat patrols during the day. And I told the troops, it's lights out at 9 o'clock every night. He said, if I find you playing video games after 9 o'clock, I'm going to take your video game. And Sergeant Major said, a week later, I had a closet overflowing of video games. He said, these are good troops. They wouldn't disobey an order, but they can't not play those damn games. They're so addictive and they're so seductive. I had another brigade commander tell me, he said, you know, we were deployed, our battalion was a totally Spartan field environment. We didn't have TVs and video games. You know, we talked, we played cards, we worked out, we went to sleep. And we had the lowest suicide. We had zero suicides. We had the healthiest group of veterans we'd ever seen. I just read about an artillery battalion, Marine artillery battalion in Syria. And they had this huge burst of PTSD. And we had World War I, World War II. We had millions, no exaggeration, millions of troops firing artillery for years on end. They never got PTSD. But the new factor is once again, I'll bet you anything you want, those Marines were going back to their room and playing video games all night long, binge-watching TVs. So sleep deprivation is a huge factor in suicide and traffic deaths. Number one, number two killer of our troops. It's a huge factor in the opiate epidemic. Fentanyl's an opiate. We lose more people to fentanyl, 70 to 80,000 every year. If it weren't for Narcan, that number would be double, triple what it is. We lose more people to fentanyl than the entire Vietnam War. The whole Vietnam War was a little shy of 60,000 Americans dead. We lose 70,000 to 80,000 every year from fentanyl. But why opiates? Why not crack? Why not meth? Well, sleep deprivation creates chronic pain. You don't sleep, you're going to hurt. And doc, give me a pill. I heard all the time, you don't need a pill, you need more sleep. And you got to knock off the caffeine that's stopping you from getting deep cycle sleep. This epidemic of caffeine abuse, you must cut off caffeine shortly after lunch, or it will cause bad quality sleep. And that creates chronic pain. And that's a huge factor in Alzheimer's. The link between sleep deprivation and Alzheimer's is huge. Lack of deep cycle sleep is the single greatest predictor, according to one study, of Alzheimer's and dementia. You know, people say, oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead. You have a decade of Alzheimer's first, doggone it. As adults, we need at least 7 hours of sleep a night. Now get this, sleep deprivation, key factor in obesity. We got a global epidemic of obesity. Sleep deprivation, key factor in heart disease, key factor in Alzheimer's. It's a key factor in traffic deaths. It's a huge factor in suicides, the most remediable factor. And the head of Netflix publicly stated their competitor is sleep. The corporate policy of Netflix is to steal your sleep. The video games are designed to put you in a flow state where you cannot turn those things off. And that's what we're fighting out there. And then, of course, the mega doses of caffeine that we're putting in our body stopping us getting deep cycle sleep, had a bad quality sleep. And Denny, we're being blindsided by this. And the people, they just want to steal your time. The video games, the social media, the binge watching these shows. But we've got to be aware of this. And again, it comes back to this. It is the most remediable factor. We can't do much about your relationships or your finances, but we can get you a good night's sleep right dang now. And our military needs to lock onto that more. We've got a wellness program that they're putting out. Holy cow. Part of the wellness program was sleep management. Now, holy cow. What do you mean? Suicides went down. The sleep management was a thing we should have done from the very beginning, just rapidly, rigidly enforcing sleep. If we cared about what's killing our troops, suicide, traffic deaths, and opiate overdoses, if we cared about obesity, the first thing we would be doing is instilling sleep. So my grandson graduated from basic training 3 years ago now. And I went to his basic training graduation and he said, you know, Grandpa, on the first morning, the drill sergeant taught us we can't get straight the hell out of bed when we need to. And that's a lesson every GI knows. And that's a lesson we must never let go of. And to pace ourselves for the long game. And we got to deal with that sleep and this culture that's just eating at our children. Teen suicides, teenage suicides exploding. And we're being blindsided by it because all these industries would just really rather you take in their product. We see ads about suicide on TV, but never once would they say, you've been binge watching TV shows for 48 hours trying to get some sleep. You've been playing this video game for 36 hours. We're turning it off now. You need to get sleep. They're not doing that. And so this is a huge challenge that lies before us. Obesity has been identified by one of our senior commanders as a national defense issue because we don't have enough physically fit people to man our armed forces. Well, where's the obesity coming from? This epidemic of sleep deprivation is a critical factor in the equation.
Wow. Yeah. Dave, we are running out of time. Talk to us about On Truth. Everything I see that you've got has On Truth. And mention your books, how people can buy them.
Thank you, Danny. My website is grossmanontruth.com. You know, I introduced the concept of killology. Criminology is not about teaching people to be criminals. And killology is not about teaching people to kill. It's about understanding the factors that enable and restrain killing in our society. But the defund the police people, the Antifa coming at us full bore, this teaching killology to all those killer cops out there. And so we just did a little academic judo. We sidestepped and we rebranded as grossmanontruth.com. The truth on killing, the truth on combat, the truth on spiritual combat, the truth on hunting, grossmanontruth.com. All my books are there and we'll autograph them and personalize them any way you want us to. You can always go to Amazon and look up my books on my Amazon author page. But we'd love you to go to our website, grossmanontruth.com. My most recent book on spiritual warfare. If you're at all interested in that spiritual side of the battle, take a look at On Spiritual Combat, then Roland on Spiritual Warfare. And like I said, you know on killing, you know on combat, both Marine Corps Commandants required reading. Take a look at On Hunting. I think you'll find it to be deeply interesting and expand your awareness of the human condition and the role that hunting plays in who we are and what we do. Just continuing to drive on and touching lives and having a blessed time every step of the way. And so good to talk to you and your listeners, my brother.
Well, Dave, thank you. One more time, tell us how people can get your website so people can get your book.
Thank you, Denny. GrossmanOnTruth.com, GrossmanOnTruth.com, OnTruth.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did.
And I'll tell you for sure, you will be glad you did. Dave, thank you. Thank you for your excellent comments. Thank you for your service to our nation. And thank you for the way you're serving not just our nation, but we the people now. Amen. By opening our eyes to what should be pretty obvious truth. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
You too, Denny. God bless you and God bless America.
This concludes the first hour of our show. We'll start the second hour talking with our junior co-host, Cedar Coriel, about our nation today. Then Steve Gorham will discuss AI and climate change. And General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.